At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in, friendos. It's In This League right here on Sports Grid.
Get on the grid.
3 hours. It's Bogman, Welsh, Casey, Bubba coming up in a little bit. Oh, boy. Tons and tons to talk about. We were talking through the week, if you missed, a lot of baseball action. We went through an entire hour, actually, on the Thursday edition of the In This League Daily. And we were just talking about the proposed deal from Jeff Passan. Don't know where we're going to go with that today, but there is a whole lot on the NFL draft front, and it is easier to encompass all of sports into literally everything going on in sports into a 3-hour show, because that's about what there is to talk about right now with sports. They're trying to get by. You know, I actually, Bogman, let me pivot here for a second. You can find Bogman on Twitter at Bogman Sports. You can find myself on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. We're going to talk a lot about the NFL draft, but I have got two non-NFL draft or baseball topics to go through. And it's actually the two sports, quote sports, that have done something recently and or is attempting to do something. So first thing I want to ask you about, have you heard about UFC Island?
Yes, I've heard of UFC Island. And I hear that's the plan that Dana White is enacting, where he's just going to rent out an island, kind of like Ronaldo did.
It's going to be like Fire
Ronaldo
Fest.
Ronaldo did it for his family.
Well,
Dana White's doing it for that cash.
He's going to try to do it like a Fire Fest. Like he's just. I wonder if he's trying to buy the same island from that drug cartel guy. Remember, if you saw the Fire Fest documentary, those guys, they went and they tried to rent an island, but they were renting it, I believe, from like Pablo Escobar. Or
I couldn't watch that whole thing. Like, those guys are just too douchey. Like,
it's super hard
for me to watch.
Well, Ja Rule was in it. Well, the other guy was just a scam artist. But I believe it was like Pablo Escobar. It was like one of the big famous drug cartel guys. So they find this island. They find out it's the drug guy. And the conditions of renting this island was just don't mention that it is from a drug cartel this island was purchased by. So
their brochure was rented from a drug cartel.
It was in their promotional video. They brought all these strippers or influencers or whatever the hell they were, just a bunch of chicks
You got both sides of that coin, right?
Yeah, whichever one it is. Only a bunch of OnlyFans accounts, and they got everybody on an island, and they just shot a ridiculous video, and the entire thing was promoting that it was from a drug cartel-owned island. So immediately, I mean, they're lucky they didn't get shot. They lost the island. Could this be the same island that Dana White is trying to purchase? Because he's not using it in his marketing. He's a smart man.
I tell you what, if it is the same island, we'll never know, because he won't be stupid enough to say, yeah, I rented this from a bunch of drug people. He'll be like, nah, we just rented this island. It's from the government or whatever. And now we're going to have some fights here. So
I think it's a crazy, crazy good idea. And here's what I like about it. I mean, he's taking into account the one thing that that's getting blasted for Arizona, for, you know, if baseball were to come here, you know, there's a lot of people involved. There's a lot of players in all 30 teams. So, I mean, you've got the entire rosters, the coaching staffs, you know, the workout staffs, blah, 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 blah. You have all those people that come to Arizona, and locally, you know, we talked about Kent Summers, who works for AZ Central. He wrote this big article about, like, you know, no thanks, don't come here, don't bring all these people here. And then the governor putting in an action of a 14-day quarantine. Is wherever you go, people are concerned about, like, all right, you're risking these people, that people. He's just going to go to a goddamn island, and he's not risking anything. He's risking, you know, getting whatever rats are on the island or coconuts with the quarantine. There's no issues. It's just going to be an island. But here is what I hope he does with it, because this could be maybe the greatest media pull we've ever seen. Is if he can get UFC Island, he should call it Fight Island, by the way. If he can get Fight Island up and running quickly, he also should turn it into like a Big Brother type of thing, with like cameras turning into reality shows. He could have Fight Island Network, and it's 24-hour coverage.
It would be
coverage.
Just like that stupid show on Spike, right?
What's
with
that?
All the fighters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Maybe. Yeah. But I'm saying,
I mean, those were amateurs. These are pros. So obviously there'd be a difference if there's a fight in the hotel or whatever, or in the place, the bungalow that they're staying at, someone will probably die.
Well, but yeah, that was training, though. They're training to be like the next big star. I'm saying this is all the UFC guys on UFC Island, and it's following them around, because Dana White was saying he wants to do weekly cards. Like, they're talking about weekly televised cards on their Fight Island. They could turn this into the real housewife fighters of, you know, of the Galapagos or whatever the hell it's going to be. Drug Island.
Real fighters of the Galapagos.
This could be the way that the notoriety of the stars becomes popular. Cameras follow them around. It's nonstop Big Brother coverage that people can log into. They don't even have to put on a network if they don't want. They could just stream it. They could stream the whole thing. Then they've got the fights going on. There are no sports. People would kill for this stuff. And he's doing it the safest way possible, because it's all on a stupid island. There's no, you know, there's no people at risk except the people on the island.
A different market. That's for sure, because there are people that will tune in for the reality aspect of that stuff, you know, and I throw that up in air quotes, reality, because reality TV is never really reality, but there are people that love it, so they'll go in and watch all that stuff, and then those will probably be the same people that'll be like, well, I've watched this far. Why wouldn't I watch the main event, the main fight here?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
What,
so that makes a lot of sense. But I don't know that you're going to get every UFC person to watch the reality show. I don't know if it'll work either way.
I think they will. I think everybody will. What is everybody doing right now? People have turned on the Tiger King. You know, that's done. People are watching their movies.
It's still number one on Netflix, man. Ozark's still number two, so.
That seems weird. That seems a little bit weird. I saw people being weird about Ozark this year. I don't know what the problem is. You know, they're supposed to be, I think that new, I don't know if that new episode dropped yet, but Tiger King's supposed to have a brand new episode.
I feel like that's a rumor, like a liar rumor.
Well, Jeff Lowe was the one, but I think Netflix confirmed it. The directors confirmed that they shot a whole bunch more stuff, and it was coming out later this week.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, good. Is it going to be about how tigers can get COVID-19? Is that going to be the whole episode?
I mean, it would probably that would be informative. Did you hear that a reporter asked Trump about Joe Exotic?
No.
I swear to God, they said
how bored are they over there? They're like, they're getting a press conference every single day, so someone's like, let's ask him about Tiger King.
But they did. They were just like, are you familiar with Joe Exotic and his his arrest and everything? And he started going, no, I'm not. He's like, should we be looking at this? Should I pardon him? And I was like, oh, God, this is great. Please pardon Joe Exotic.
If you're
going to
pardon him, pre-pardon Carol Baskin also.
Maybe, yeah, something like put them on Fight Island. There you go. There's your main event.
Aww.
Dana White, main event, Carol Baskin, and they both get a tiger in their corner or something? I mean, Joe fights dirty, but, you know, Carol fights dirtier.
Yeah. Yeah, Carol's 1-0. We know that.
Yeah,
so.
She's definitely 1-0. I think the Fight Island... It's got so much potential to it for what they could do. You just have to get all the guys to bite in. I mean, it could be, like I said, Big Brother. It could have a Survivor feel. Hopefully it doesn't turn into what's our Super Trooper movie that we love? Not the Island one.
Yeah. God damn it. Now I can't remember the name.
Yeah, what is the name of that one? Club Dread. I remembered it. Club Dread.
Club Dread, thank
you.
Yeah,
Club Dread. Hopefully it doesn't turn into like a Club Dread. I don't know. I just think that there's an opportunity there that is really, really, really smart.
Now I can't get Pina Colada Berg out of my head.
Now, if there's not enough runway time, but, you know, MLB, if they want to shut everybody up, they could just go buy an island, and maybe they don't have a stadium, but they don't need one. They'll just cut some grass. They'll do it like if you build it, they will come. They'll just build a stadium on the ground. And it's perfect.
Kevin Costner's like, I don't know why I'm here, guys. I was just a character in a movie. I didn't actually do the work on this. They're like, keep cutting that corn out.
Keep going, Kevin. You know, in the Bahamas, they do this tournament. Oh, God. I think his name is Todd Isaac. I'm completely forgetting what the tournament's called now. But
are you serious? Because that kind of sounds like Joe Exotic.
Yeah, no, it is. It's his name. And it's a Bahamas.
A man with two first names, Todd Isaac.
It's a Bahamas tournament. It's a home run tournament. I talked to Christian Robinson, the Diamondbacks prospect, about it a couple years ago because he partakes
he's from
in
the
it.
Bahamas,
and,
right? Yeah.
The what?
Isn't he from the Bahamas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's in the Bahamas. But like Bo Bichette has been in a couple years and stuff like that. But what's interesting about it is they do the home run tournament on a dock. Of the beach, and it's like this big raised dock kind of on like the I think it's maybe on a like side of a mountain or something like that, and they're just launching balls into the ocean. So imagine this island that they've got cameras in it and stuff like that, and I guess you would have the issue of like the players and how you move them around, and now that I'm thinking about it, you need 15 of them, but still follow me here, 15 islands, and imagine, you know, the fence, the home run ball, it's just going into the ocean. And you're just seeing home runs being hit into the ocean, 500 feet, nothing to stop them. They just get to keep launching. It would be amazing.
You can even have, you know what? You could even have more people in a reality show there if you throw some chum in the water, right?
Sharks and stuff, yeah.
You have the people with the nets trying to get the home run balls out there, too. So there's another reality show for you.
Okay. I mean, see, we're coming up with multiple ideas. But I guess now that I'm thinking, I wasn't thinking properly about this. They would need like 15 islands. And then where would the guys stay? That's kind of the other problem for baseball
islands.
Oh,
yeah, that's true. That's
for Dinger,
true,
for so. Dinger Island, as I call it.
What was it?
Dinger Island.
Dinger Island.
Okay. Yeah.
It sounds like something else. But yeah, Dinger Island.
They could
Let's
buy a
go.
Really big island, and then they could just, you know, they could just do all the if you build it fields all around the island. And then they could just drive little golf carts around.
Why don't they buy a really big island, right?
Like
build
I just
some
said.
Fences
okay.
and moats and stuff around it, and then recreate dinosaurs on that island.
Oh, okay. And it could be like a park, like an attraction.
Right, yeah, like an attracted park, yeah, where there's rides to go on and everyone can go through. It's like half zoo, half park.
Like a,
you know,
there'd
I'm
be
just
like
spitballing
a
ball in here. It's just an idea I've had
no,
a
no.
little bit.
It's good. They could, and like it could be a big gate that people walk into, and it's like something park. I don't know what it is.
Maybe it kind of looks like, you know, King Kong is in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Know?
There's like green trucks that drive around because, you know, green in the forest.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Jeeps. And then something with like a big roof window so you can see the T-Rex and all that stuff.
T-Rex.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
Samuel Jackson's there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's in everything, isn't he? So why wouldn't he be in our park? So.
I like this. What did this have to do with baseball?
I don't know. It was just we're talking about buying up islands, and it's just this idea I've had for a while.
Okay, so, it's really original.
But I think
original.
You'd have to start it on a separate island, you know, just to see how it went.
Yeah.
So you should probably have, you know, like a second island also.
Yeah,
so,
the backup island.
Backup island.
And then
yeah,
we get, that
exactly.
one could be like something world.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That could be like a world instead of a park,
yeah,
right?
Like
where you
dinosaur
just have the
world.
Roam free.
Dinosaur,
so.
Not baseball. It has nothing to do with baseball. See, I think This is a great investment. These are great investments across the board.
Yeah, it's turned into an investment podcast instead of a sports podcast.
And then you could just have all the guys that could get, like, they'll hire the fire festival guys to build the huts, because those guys built really good huts for the families.
Yeah, but, with a bunch of really working toilets, right?
Yeah. You know what they could do? Have you ever seen those commercials for, like, sandals, you know, sandals vacations or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
And they always show these, like, amazing, like, hut, or the, you know, I don't know, these, like, little cabin houses that are in the middle of the water that are raised over the water and stuff like that. They just build a couple hundred of those. That's where the players stay. They all have golf carts, and they golf cart around the island. Then you can put up the cameras, and you can do a reality show for baseball. And then on Baseball Island, Dinger Island, as it is, there's 15 fields for them to play, and they're on a tropical island.
Maybe these islands should just be all inhabited by sports people, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we should start doing. Just build one stadium, all the games get played in there.
And then they'll start replacing like them with robots, and it'll just be like a football
if
world.
No one can go to these games anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, people will pay to come in, and people actually won't know if the athletes are real or they're robots, and you just really hope there's not an uprising by Dolores, and it'll be great. and people, you know, the people that work on the island won't even realize that there's multiple islands, and all of a sudden there's seven different islands for all the sports, or soccer world and football world. It'll be great.
Is that west of Westeros? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
That's what's west of Westeros. That's sports islands.
West world, and then it's football world, and then all of those. That's what we're heading to, and that's what we're getting to. Just everything. It's funny because we all live on islands technically. It'll just be these smaller islands that are purchased by all of the major sports, and then no one will ever enjoy sports again except on television. And they'll just be on islands. But you know, then what'll be great, this will be great for the reality show, Bogman, is there will be people that will try to, like, you know, get onto the island. You know, they'll try to sneak onto the island with boats and night vision boats. And that'll be a whole new series. It'll be like Cops, but it'll be, you know, catching the pirates trying to get onto the islands.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can't think of appropriate jokes for that, but I am thinking of jokes for that. So,
okay, well, Pirates of the Caribbean or something like that.
Yeah, okay. All right. So you're telling me that Captain Jack Sparrow is going to lead some of the fans to this island?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is he going to have to use a special compass? I mean, we've seen how that turns out.
I'm just saying there's lots of programming we've created, because then we can follow, like, you know, the night boat guards that are trying to keep people out. We can follow the players on a separate program. We could have, like, you know, the golf cart cam of people driving around the island.
Well, the real problem is you start to get people laundering money on these islands here, you know, and you know, their bosses are kind of weird. You never know if you're going to be the one to die or if someone else is going to be the one to die because of this money laundering. Then the FBI is involved, and it's just a huge, huge mess.
You need Marty Bird.
I'm not sure if we can get everything done on this island.
What have we
right?
done? Yeah, we've really created a lot of content here, is what I'm saying. A lot of content, and this is just for baseball. And you know, you put it to all of the others. I love your shark idea for the outfield fences for baseball. So, you know, if one guy, you got a question, you know, like, do you really want to go up for that baseball?
Over a week, the Welsh, we could potentially just call it Shark Week.
Oh, I mean, Shark Week has a whole new meaning. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, there goes Mike Trout. Oh, Trout with the shark.
Oh, no. Trout and Shark
Sharks
Week.
Love Trouts.
Oh, no. It's so creative. How does it just comes up with itself, the Welsh.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
I mean, I think from top to bottom, we'll have whole new we will have whole new advertisers. Chiquita Banana maybe can advertise. They'll be excited about that on an island. I think it's a great idea. And you know, we really have to give it up to Dana White, because Fight Island or Punch Island or UFC Island, whatever it's going to be, it's a fantastic idea that, you know, people can stop worrying about baseball being played in Arizona. People can maybe stop worrying about the NFL draft having to be on Zoom, which we're going to talk about. Just get your own island. It's an easy
fix.
You
have an island chain. You can name it like Submission Island, Tap Out Island, all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, it's a perfect idea. We got to go to break. When we come back, I do want to talk about the other, quote, sport that has put out some content, because we talked about it earlier in the week with one thing they did. They did something ridiculously awesome with the other. I want to talk about that. And we're going to talk about the NFL draft Zoom edition. Don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why the fuck is it called a...
In this league.
Because who could be scared of it?
In this league.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In this league.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
You know, having an heart attack.
Friendos, InThisLeague.com. It takes you to our Patreon. Come and check us out. Support your boys. We appreciate everybody that has done that and also not gone away from that, if you know what I mean, in April. April has been fine. We would love to have you guys over. Lots of extra content on the Patreon. We are doing our part to try to keep people busy, try to keep some normalcy, and if anything, be a distraction for everybody. So I've been working on some new stuff for my prospect list, some added additions. Bogman has had his dynasty football stuff. We have got the sacred shows. We got the group me rooms, all the things. You guys want to be a part of it. $5 is going to get you a really, really long way. If that's not in your wheelhouse, well, don't worry about it. But if it is, hey, $5 well spent for the next couple months. $5 for April, and then you can get in on May. It's still pretty early in the month. Still, it feels like it's 2023 at this point. And I keep forgetting, like, I've never not looked forward to a birthday more than this one coming up. I've just never cared less.
One, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, so. You shouldn't at all really care anymore. After you pass, like, I don't know, like 21
all
and
damn
stuff like
April
that.
Babies. You and our buddy Will, yeah. My cousin, like, there's a lot of April babies.
Yeah, my mother-in-law, she's like 5 days after me. It's a lot of April stuff. But I mean, it couldn't be more of a worthless time. It's just like, okay. All right, I'll just sit here. Like, happy birthday, cool. Oh, what's that? That's not a cake. Oh, no. That's just a muffin for the leftover flour that we made because we can't go outside and we can't buy anything. Yay. But no, I don't care about it either. But
yeah, well, at least you know that, you know, all of the deaths in Arizona should be peaking right around your birthday. So that's nice.
It's going to be a great time. I wish I was like, I have a catch-22. I wish I could do or had going on what Dave Portnoy does over at Barstool. El Presidente, he's been doing these hilarious it's unboxing videos because people every single day he is getting it looks like 100 packages a day, and he's just doing Jesus. Live videos of unpacking everything. It looks awesome. There's a high I get from getting Amazon packages and stuff like that. It's something I love about our when we do our Christmas thing, because we'll have listeners, like, you know, go through an Amazon tab and send us stuff, and we'll get all these boxes, and it's super fun for,
I
like, one day.
I also get high from packages.
You too, from listeners. From listeners, you get high from other packages. And I love that stuff, and that would be super fun to do right now, while at the same time, though, never giving my address out again to anybody.
Oh,
even
yeah.
People that I presume I trust. After I've told the story, the one guy just randomly messages me. He's like, I want to send you guys these shirts. I'm like, oh, that's super nice of you. Here you go. And then like 2 hours later, I get a message back. Hey, you got a really nice house. I just looked it up on Google Maps. And I was like, all right, you know, never
Dude,
again.
That's a whole bit on Parks and Recreation where Ron Swanson is like, hey, April. And he's like, I bought this, you know, this miniature boat. And she was like, oh, for me. And he's like, don't sass me. And he goes, so I'm on the internet, and it says, hey, Ron Swanson, check out this deal. And she goes, what's your question? And he's like, my question is, what the hell? She goes, like, how do they know your name? He's like, yeah. She goes, well, there's these things called cookies. He's like, well, that's an invasion of privacy. She goes, dude, if you think that's bad, go to Google Earth and type in your address. And that's when you just see him, like, throwing away the whole computer. That's that clip.
Oh,
that, like,
that's hilarious.
That so, yeah. So, yeah, I get it. I mean, I got to be honest here, guys. I don't even know your new address.
Fantastic.
If you were dying or something and you were like, call 911, I'm having a heart attack in the office.
Nowadays, that's possible.
I don't know where to tell them to go. So
go 3 or 4 minutes near the stadium.
Yeah, 3 or 4 minutes away from Surprise Stadium. It's somewhere in that neighborhood. Just go start knocking on doors.
Find someone that's screaming. Yeah, so, I mean, that took that away. So as much as, you know, that would be fun, no. No, we had somebody who wanted to send us something too, and I was just like, "Yeah, tell Bogman." I'm just not gonna give anybody my address anymore. It's just weird. That was weird.
I don't care. Like, you know,
not that everybody's weird, and there's actually a lot of people, like specifically, like in our
people just be normal, but it's that 1% that is just weird that you gotta watch out for. So it's not anything like, you know, when you say no, I'm not gonna give out my address because of the weirdo. I'm not calling you the weirdo. I'm just saying that there are weirdos out there, so I can't be given my address.
Well, because someone clearly did that. The amount of times I would do that and never had that, and this person was just like, it's totally normal for them to go and search my. And like I said before, when I talked about the subject before, I bet lots of people have done that. But don't tell me. That's weird. Like, live with your own weird. Like, if you are doing something that you know is creepy, or I mean, the problem is they don't know. But if you're doing something like that that's creepy or weird, you just keep it to yourself. That's what everybody should do. Keep your weirdness like that to yourself. But then to be like, hey, I just wanted to let you know I looked it up. No big deal. I'm like, no, it's weird and creepy. You imagine, by the way.
I also got a private investigator, and he says that your wife is not doing anything. She's just a normal wife. Yeah. Aren't you happy about that?
It's along the same lines of being like, hey, your wife is really good looking. I looked up your last name, went on Facebook, found her, friended her, and looked at all the photos. She's really good. It's like the same thing.
I saw all the videos you put of your kid up on Facebook. He's really talented, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking about? You know how you heard like lots of stories. I just thought of this from because Marc Maron, I haven't listened to his show in a long time, but he used to talk about how people would like, you know, people could pretty much easily find his house. And his house was so, you know, famous because he'd do his podcast out of there. But, you know, you can go online and you can find pretty easy, like, you know, famous people's addresses and stuff like that.
Comparing yourself.
No, I'm not bringing that at all. I'm bringing up a conversation. I said, you know what I've been thinking about? And he would talk about how like people would like show up and can you imagine somebody today showing up at a celebrity's house? Like those weird, because there's the stalkers, but then there's the weird people. There's the people that don't have a distinction of like this, the same thing, the type of person that would be like, I look up your address. They also wouldn't realize it's not okay to go find a celebrity at their house, knock on their door and tell them that they love them. Can you imagine doing that right now?
I mean, no, I'm not kidding. You would get shot by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Some people would be like, okay, thanks. But, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Like, they would try to explain why you shouldn't be doing that. Like, it's going to get to that person's skull anyway. But, yeah, I mean, there would be people that got shot right now.
Like that.
With you know, I'm not going to say it's good reason, but it's not unsound reasoning. So some weirdo shows up on your door, you know, I think you kind of have to assume they're dangerous, right? If they're willing to go out of their way to go knock on your door and be a weirdo like that and just have no clue that that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
I think you got to assume that person's dangerous.
Well, and, you know, I was thinking about that other, you remember that podcast? I don't remember a podcast disappearing like this out of just into obscurity quicker than finding Richard Simmons. You remember that podcast?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Where it was super interesting to start and then like it wasn't going anywhere and then it ended not going anywhere. Like that guy like was showing up at Richard Simmons like mansion and stuff like that. Like that can't happen. That type of stuff wouldn't happen anymore.
A personal relationship.
Yeah,
with
he did.
Richard Simmons. So there's a difference there between a super mega fan. I mean, he was a super mega fan before all of this stuff with Richard Simmons. I barely remember listening to that. I just remember like Richard Simmons just depressed. He's a depressed dude. And he wants to be left alone.
Yeah. So he just wanted, you know, his housekeeper to control his life because he didn't care anymore.
Right. Exactly. So. Yeah. I mean, people do weird stuff. So, exactly. But don't Don't show up at the Welsh's house, I think, is the crux of this story.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Because no, I'm like Mark Maron, like Bogman said. I see myself as Mark Maron, so please don't show up at my house. I'm on the same level of success.
Well, I mean, you were like, don't come to my house. You know, people go to Mark Maron's house.
No, I said, oh, you know what? You missed this because I said, you know what I've been thinking about? And it was like, do people do weird stuff like that? Like, even I,
funny,
even I, who couldn't help myself when I saw Clayton Kershaw at Whole Foods. I had to go up and, you know, say hi and take a picture. Like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do any of that stuff. And I don't like doing that stuff, actually, in general. Maybe surprised to that one story. Like, I wouldn't do that type of stuff. If I could see anybody in the grocery store, I'd be like, oh, cool, there's Barack Obama. And, like, I'm just not going to go over there.
I have that, like, I think I have that East Coaster mentality with celebrities. Like, I see a celebrity somewhere, and then I see people walking up to them, and I'm like, what, you think you're better than me? You know, I got that.
I kind of have that.
I'm like, I'm not going to beg you to write your name on a napkin. Who cares? Guy shopping. I don't care.
It's really something I would give in life, and I don't know if it's ever going to – I don't know if the autograph world is ever going to be a thing anymore after this, but, like, on a bucket list, really, really would be – to be with Bogman in a moment where he wanted someone's autograph. I know you would say, like, there's nobody, blah, 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 blah. But, like, I don't know,
oh,
man.
There's people.
Yeah, like, yeah. I just want to be there when there's this moment where you're kind of, like, you're all jacked up to, like,
make this
happen.
I just think that moment is probably past because that was something I definitely did when I was younger.
What if Hines Ward? Like, what if, like, we're walking around and you saw Hines
Ward?
That
would be it, you know.
Would that be the one?
Like, Hines, maybe. I heard Palomalu's a dick, so maybe not.
Jerome Bettis?
Bettis would be great.
I feel like Bettis and Hines would be your two.
Right, yeah, probably those. And Bill Cowher, for sure.
Oh, God, so, I would give anything to be around you just for that. Because you're so judgmental to it. Like, I want to witness you in that moment. It would be so, it would be just magnificent. I would relish in it. I would relish in seeing you.
I would be
all
like a little girl. To be honest, I'd be like... You know, one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Just almost lost all my breath doing that.
Uh-oh. Lord. Uh-oh. You all right?
Yep, I'm okay. Had to take a sip of water.
All right. Yeah, you got to take a sip of penicillin maybe, too? Anything else? I'm worried about you. Antibiotics?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do a breathing test. Breathe in again.
Give me all that stuff.
You okay?
I'm fine. Right. I just did as a little. I overdid a little bit doing my little girl impression. So
it was a great little girl impression, by the way.
Yeah.
That was it. That's how little girl Bogman. Little girls sound like. That's it.
Well, they freak out. You know, Michael Che has a whole thing about it on his stand up, which I've watched because I've been watching a lot of stand up. I'm just putting it on in the background because there's no live sports, the Welsh.
You know what I watch? Okay, I got to tell you, though, the thing. We're just devolving here. But I really appreciate, you know, a stand-up special is really good when you can go back to it like multiple times. And I went back and last night I was more listening than even watching, but Paper Tiger by Bill Burr. And it's just always great. It's so great. And it felt new again, even though I'd heard it and I've watched it like five times. It was fantastic. So that's a.
I mean, I like Bill Burr, but in a situation like this, I can't take Bill Burr. It's too much. You know, it riles me up a little bit too much, and then I get tired of him. Like, Bill Burr is a complainer comic, which most comics are, but it's just so obvious. Like, I don't know. He reminds me of my uncle too much. I'm like, yeah, you're a bit much.
Yeah, and that might be your thing. Okay, so. The thing I was teasing before, and we are going to be talking about, it's going to be the next segment, though. We're going to talk about the NFL draft and the NFL draft sponsored by Zoom, which is apparently going to happen. But
is that real?
It's not sponsored by Zoom.
Oh, no, okay, no. I was like, well, it should be. That makes sense.
I mean, really, really should be. Zoom is taking over the world. I'm telling you, it's the next big conglomerate. Zoom Island. That'll be their next venture.
Zoom Island.
So we're going to put everybody on an island, and they could talk to each other in the computers and be like, okay, that's a...
Zoom Island would have the worst security.
100% people would be breaking in all the time and no password protection. And yeah. So we talked about this earlier in the week. We were talking about the WWE and WrestleMania specifically. We only talked about night one because we were recording like before night two had finished or anything like that. And we were talking about how much I hated the Boneyard match they did. It was really stupid. And it was this cinematic,
the Boneyard movie.
Yeah, it was just their cinematic. I don't even know what they called it. Cinematic something. The WWE like short film is essentially what it was, and they treated that as a wrestling match. So night two, we didn't get to really talk to, but night two, they did something, Bogman, and I didn't even see this until Thursday, and I know you haven't seen this. It's incredible. It was called the Firefly Funhouse Match. Now, what? I don't even know what that is. I didn't watch it. I don't know what any of that is. It
sounds like a ride at Chuck E. Cheese.
But here is what they did do. And this was magnificent of what they did do. And I want you to type this in a second so you can see it. But apparently, John Cena had a match against somebody. And I don't know who the dude in the middle of the ring was to start. But
Was it against hair plugs?
No, he started cutting this promo. This guy, whoever the guy was, acting like Eric Bischoff, almost quoting him verbatim. And then John Cena came out in an NWO shirt and an NWO hat to the NWO music doing the Wolfpack thing.
Huh.
It was great. Like that, I was all for that. Nothing will probably come up of it at all. Like, you know, he's not going to probably be back in wrestling or start the NWO. But it was like, I don't know what I'm going to type it in. What did I call it? It was if I can get my mouse here. Why is the apocalypse? Why did Mises start working?
Yeah, I see him coming out. Yeah. It says WCW Monday Nitro. He's in his NWO shirt. He's got the belt with spray painted NWO on it. He's doing the Wolfpack bit. Okay.
Yeah, but okay, but
I mean, I don't like. Did he fight as? Did he even fight? I mean, what did he do?
This was the thing that they did though. I'm going to read about this because this was a cinematic thing that made me laugh. So here's an article real quick. It's a WWE fans didn't know
what's
what
with
to
the puppets.
Well, I know that's part of it. They said WWE fans didn't know what to expect from the Firefly Funhouse match between John Cena and Bray Wyatt. They talked about the Boneyard match. Somehow, in its own extremely strange way, the Funhouse match delivered something equally eyebrow-raising. The Firefly Funhouse match wasn't really a match, and it was more of a fever dream exploration of WWE history through the lens of the ongoing Wyatt-Cena feud. The segment gave us puppet Vince McMahon, the return of the prototype, I don't know who that is, and the giant SmackDown fist, don't know what any of that is. John Cena did 100 bicep curls, Bray Wyatt doing a Hulk Hogan impression. I don't know what some of this other stuff is. And then NWO John Cena and more. I guess maybe Wyatt was the one that did the introduction.
I mean, we
got
to go to break. We got to talk about this on the other side.
It's amazing.
I don't even know what to think of this. It looks insane.
It looks insane. Like, give me something that is totally ridiculous outside of that stupid match that they did before. Firefly Funhouse match. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In this league,
somebody royally forked up.
Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
In this league time, boys, we back. Finishing up hour one. It is Chris Welsh, Scott Bogman. It's us. We are in this league. We're talking about the WWE Firefly Fun match. At least it's really easy to say. I still haven't come to the determination. Here's been my problem with the WWE. I mean, and I say problem is they're the only thing that's been going on. That's fantastic. It's fantastic how they did something. I don't know if they did a Raw after. I don't know if they're continuously doing. I think they might be continuously doing stuff, you know, in just these empty stadiums. But they might not. It might have just been WrestleMania. But, I just came across this. I'm watching some of these videos. What I'm not understanding is, like, kind of twofold here. I don't know any of the characters anymore, so none of it helps. But I don't understand all of the new stuff that they did, like a Firefly Funhouse match. It wasn't a match.
Was it even a match?
No, it was exactly what that article said, dude. It was, like, the history of the WWE done with these two guys.
During the break, I was scrolling, and all I saw was, okay, the weird puppets. One looks like Vince McMahon, but he has devil horns. Yep. I don't know if you noticed that. He's got devil horns. He said, I love this ass, or this is such great ass, or whatever he said. And then there's one with, like, Macho Man Randy Savage sunglasses on, but it has, like, a pelican face, but it's also just a skeleton. So I don't know what that's supposed to be. Macho Man or what?
They said it described as a fever dream exploration of WWE history through the feud of Wyatt and Cena, but they were doing stuff together. Like Wyatt cut a Hogan promo, and then Cena came in like Macho Man, and then John Cena was, you know, Hollywood Hogan essentially, and they did Word Life and Doctor of Thuganaut. I mean, they just did all this stuff.
Did you watch Glow?
I haven't watched the new season.
Okay, so the first season you watched, though, right?
Yeah.
You remember when Mark Maron came up with the whole plan of, you know, we're going to do a sci-fi twist on wrestling, and he came up with this whole thing, and they played it out for a day in the ring, and it was just stupid and made no sense? It seems like WWE just did that. It was basically that, not the same premise, but it was something where normal wrestling people would look at it and go, what are you doing? We're not children. You know what I mean? This isn't all made for kids. This is crazy. It seems like this is and I'm going to use the word match loosely, but it seems like this match is for the people that had COVID-19.
I mean, this might be what it's like to experience it. So it's just something weird. So I guess you got to give credit to WWE for doing something while it's going on. But this is part two.
I see a GIF of John Cena beating up a stuffed pig with chocolate on its face in the middle of, and the pig has an NWO shirt on in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's all about.
I literally don't know what's going on. I mean, WWE doing weird things. Even like wrestlers, I think, were tweeting about, they're like, they don't know what they just saw. Like, people are just like, I don't know what I just saw, but okay, that was cool. That was different. And it's something completely different. But I don't know. I don't understand anybody in WWE anymore. So unlike UFC Island, where if they go and put, like, you know, all this fighting in a singular place and stuff, like, I can get into that. I just still can't get into wrestling. I can't get into...
You got to be on peyote to understand this match.
I can appreciate the creative stuff. I like this better than them trying to do a cinematic production of a match, which is embarrassing. Like, they just did something unique. Like, the Firehouse thing, that's fun to watch. The other one wouldn't have been fun to watch. But, I don't know, did you see, you know, speak of something really embarrassing? That the Big Show has...
Oh, it's the worst.
It may be... The most embarrassing idea WWE has ever done is, I think it's on Netflix. It might be Hulu. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Big Show.
It is called The Big Show. And it is like a family rom-com.
It's not even called The Big Show. It's called The Big Show.
That's awful. It is like a family fun comedy. They're essentially trying to put like Big Show in the... King of Queens universe or something like that. He's like, hey,
he's Kevin James. Yeah, right.
He's a former wrestler and now he's a dad. And like
the most embarrassing line in the whole thing.
No,
he's like staring at one of his old championship belts and he's like,
you're so beautiful.
Oh, I know.
So much. And his wife was standing right there. She goes, are you talking to me or the bell?
And then he goes, and then he goes, you. That's it. And in the trailer, they did one of those, oh, God. It was like one of, what was that stupid show with the twins that everybody loved?
Twins.
In San Francisco with Danny Tanner and Full House.
Is that it? Full House. Yeah.
Thanks. So thanks for the help there.
Twins in San Francisco.
I know. Danny Tanner didn't give it away for anybody.
Well, they were both in, they were both in the show, but not at the same time. I was thinking, like, what show had twins in San Francisco? I don't understand.
The Olsen twins. Danny Tanner, San Francisco. We got there. But, like, you know how they would have those moments where they'd sit down and they'd be like, well, you know, Uncle Jesse loves you, but sometimes adults, blah blah blah, like. Big Show has the, like, in the trailer would do moments like that where he's sitting down and, like, trying to do heartfelt. Like, I looked at that and I said, you guys do not know your audience. You guys are so embarrassing.
It's a weird thing. You know, I mean, I've watched shows with laugh tracks and stuff like that before, but it's just, it's such a hack move now to, I maybe it's just because I'm older and bitter and all that stuff. But anything with a laugh track on the show, I'm just like, I can't do this. It's too much.
No.
You know?
But more than anything, when they put a former wrestler and it's just the whole, it's really rough.
It's a sitcom on Netflix, which is strange to me. Netflix usually doesn't do this stuff. This is something like, you know, that they, if it becomes popular, like Big Bang Theory, like they would put it on Netflix. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just can't do comedies with laugh tracks and. You know, there's a moral lesson at the end of every show and all that stuff. It's just too much. So,
yeah, I just wish it would never happen. Like, I'd rather watch 12 Boneyard matches than have to watch one of those shows. You know what they should do?
Who's the worst person to put than Big Show in that? Like, if The Undertaker did that show?
No, Mike, they could do a lot more with that, I think. You know, like, they could play. Actually, that would be better because they could play up the whole, like, him being dead thing and Kane could show up. He's like, hey, it's your brother. You know, I mean, they could actually. You know what? I might write
Isn't
that.
Is he running for, like, mayor of something?
Yeah, he was running for, like, governor of something. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to think of a good name for that show. Like that.
Well, I mean, I know for sure that his bed would be a casket in that show.
Right? I mean,
the Harley would be outside, of course, you know.
Yeah, you'd have guest appearances by like Kid Rock and then Kane comes
instead
in.
Instead of a hammock, he just has like a hole in the ground that he sleeps in.
Yeah.
Out back.
And so this is I got the best moment of the whole show. Be like, dinner's ready. Someone went get dad. Hold on a second. And they start wafting the smell of a snake, and then all the steak, and then all of a sudden he does the rise from the grave type of thing. He goes whoop, and he gets up and he runs. It'll just be like Undertaker rising. It's a much better show.
Goes, dad, and then all the lights in the house go out. Right. And then a spotlight goes on him.
His daughter's trying to take a guy's trying to take his daughter out for a date, and he'll be like, "You know what a pile driver is?" And it's just like, "Dad, stop threatening my boyfriend with a pile driver. Stop it."
This sounds like, you remember the show that Brian wrote, and then James Woods comes in on Family Guy,
yeah.
And he's like, "Yeah, I just figured we'd add this monkey." You know.
But see, then, like, maybe he could choke slam him. He does a choke slam to hell, but then he appears in hell, and it's just puppet Vince McMahon. It's devil puppet Vince McMahon talking. See, this is a much better show. This is what I was going to get at. They should be doing more fever dream type of stuff. I would rather watch a full, like, exploration of the WWE done by wrestlers. I'd watch an entire series than I would ever watch the Big Show show. It's horrendously embarrassing.
I'm trying to think of, like, what other shows could we throw these wrestlers in? Like, make DX Full House.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, but all of that would be great. All of these things. I mean, DX, yeah, I mean, that would be very woke, too, if it's like Triple H and HBK. It's like they're the dads, and that'd be great. They're trying to navigate X-Pac through all of his porn antics and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, Billy Gunn could be like the Jesse, and Road Dogg could be like the comedian one.
Road Dogg would just live in a van outside.
It would be great. Yeah, 100%. I mean, they don't have China anymore, so I don't know what.
Yeah,
they would do. Stephanie McMahon, maybe.
Oh, there you go. Boom.
There you go. Look
are they
at
still
that.
Married? Or yeah. Is Triple H still married to Vince or Stephanie McMahon?
As far as I know, Triple H is married to Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, 100%.
And it's a Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Okay.
Yeah, it's the feat of wrestling right
now.
It's
like a Joe Exotic deal they got going on there.
I guess. So. I don't know what's going on. So, I mean, a lot of wrestling to talk about. It's just weird. It's just weird what they're doing. Horrible sitcom ideas. Wrestling is taking a completely different turn. But the only thing I think that they did that I can stomach was the nostalgia bit of John Cena doing the NWO stuff is fantastic, even if it's just a one-time dream. I don't know the matches. I don't know the people. I can't get down with the cinematic, you know, Undertaker. I'd rather Undertaker be in a sitcom than do that stupid match that they did. But I like the Funhouse Flyer Nathan Dillion. I like all that type of bit that he did.
Yeah,
Fillion,
I mean,
Nathan Fillion. Firefly as a reference.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about this anymore. Like, so I think we went into this with less fever dreams than the one that they had, and now we want more fever dreams.
Yeah. Well, right? we were creating an Undertaker show. That's all that it was. Like, okay. It's a great show too. It's a really, really great concept.
I mean, I could do this for hours. We could create a Bret the Hitman Hart show.
Oh yeah, the Hart Foundation. That'll be it. Maybe the Hart Foundation. Here's the gimmick. The Hart Foundation became an actual foundation to help during COVID-19. So they're an actual foundation instead of being like a wrestling group. Wouldn't that be great?
God.
They're going to wrestle this virus to the mat.
Bret the Hitman Hart's going to put COVID-19 in a sharpshooter.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's probably some beat. What was always his line? If you want to beat the man, you got to.
No,
best there is, the best there was,
the best there
ever will be.
And the best there ever will be. The excellence of execution, the Welsh. Come on.
Okay, that's good stuff. We've only got a couple minutes here, so let's set the stage for a second so we can talk about this.
Let's not set the stage because we had to take all that down because of COVID-19.
We did have to take it all down. But successfully, in the last 5 minutes, we'll set up probably the thing that people cared about. I mean, I don't know. UFC Island was pretty good. But we've talked about this before. I want to talk maybe a little bit more in detail of what is actually being proposed and the actual logistics of what's going to happen, because the NFL draft is around the corner. And I know there's baseball has kind of dominated the conversation because they're looming to come back. Basketball actually secretly behind the scenes. I don't think people even realize, like, basketball is the one that's actually trying to be the forefront. Like, they want to be the first that come out, even though, you know, baseball, there's a lot of unknowns and you know, the proposal was out there, even though baseball has kind of squashed it. They probably have, well, I don't know, they might have bigger logistical issues. There's a lot less people in basketball, really big stadiums, stuff like that. The only problem with basketball is so many players had tested positive. You know, it was really, they were really hit hard. So they would have to really, really be careful about what they're doing in this entire process. But basketball is the one, I think, secretly behind the scenes that wants to be the first. So there's this race. It's the race to be the first of the big sports, you know, not counting what we've talked about in UFC and WWE and stuff, but a race to be the first to come back. But then this entire time, it's not necessarily that they're coming back, but football behind the scenes has a chance to steal the spotlight for a week because they have not changed the NFL draft. It's not taking off of the date, which is April 23rd through the 25th. That's Thursday through Saturday. Later in this month, they're going to continue on, but they're completely talking about, or they've already agreed upon, of changing the structure. And I don't know. I actually don't 100% know if this is going to be true, but they're essentially going to do this like it's via Zoom. I don't know that they're going to use Zoom. There's probably other platforms. They might be using Zoom because actually, dude, I just saw an interview that was posted. I think the Cowboys posted this. Let me see if I can find it. Maybe I can even play it real quick. The Cowboys posted a Zoom conversation of a prospect they had, and it is, well, yeah, here it is. Here it is. So it's, I'm going to play it real quick. Let's see, the Dallas Cowboys likely won't have to worry about confidence issues. Yeah, so they're posting videos. They've actually posted multiple. Yeah, here it is. This is so weird. Of their interview with prospects for the NFL draft. And on the video, you're seeing Jerry Jones. You're seeing the coaches. They're doing this on Zoom. That's weird, Bogman.
I got these guys come in here and set all the stuff up for me so I can talk to these boys.
I'm going to play this for a second.
I like to talk to all these guys first.
So this one is, there are moments in an interview where you learn something about a prospect that goes far beyond football. And this is OU football.
Son, do you want some glory hole?
OU football linebacker Kenneth Murray provided one of those moments. I'm going to just play this for a minute.
Let me ask one that I ask it frequently this way. If you can come up with a setback, if you could come up with where you had to really call on yourself at any time in your life, when you were young, you were kicked around, what do you think gave you a lot of the setbacks or the controversy or the challenge that might have helped you be a football player you are?
Well, you know, situation that I like to talk about, and that's made me who I am on the field and off the field. You know, I wouldn't say it's more so a setback. I say it's more so a blessing. I mean, you know, if you look at it the way I am, the way, you know, my family has, you know, it is a blessing. And so, you know, for me, I learned, you know, how to be selfless at an extremely, extremely young age, how to what true gratitude is at extremely young age because of what I went through. And so, you know, when I was growing up, my mom and my dad, you know, they did some things that were true acts of selflessness. And so, around the age of 11, my parents adopted three special needs kids.
See, right there, that is crazy. Adopting three special needs kids, his parents did. He learned that. This is a moment that the Cowboys not only captured for themselves, but then they shared to the world. So there's a lot to this draft stuff and maybe some interesting experiences, more stuff that we can talk about on the other side. So that was just a little peek into what I was talking about, but more virtual NFL draft right around the corner.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.